It's the Paul Patterson and Tom Scalin podcast show. They're talking the walk and not about sloppy joes. So, talk and walk show.
Welcome back to Talking the Walk. This is episode 82. Jason Garrett. I am Paul Patterson.
And I'm Tom Scalin on my new microphone.
That was loud and it was crystal clear. Jake Brown. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
The voice is real and spectacular.
That's right, Jackie. I just watched the second to last episode of Seinfeld, where Jackie gets called to go defend the four detainees for their inaction when the carjacking was happening. Jake Brown, original music. Bailey Bishop, original artwork. And we have Cole Hopkins on social media. Fact checker, Jill Martin. And then, of course, Jeff Gravy with marketing. So watch update. Guess what? We're still in the month of June. So it's still done. And you didn't know that because you didn't listen to last week's episode, but June is done already.
I listened to Jake's song. It made me mad.
And I told you the reason why we did that was because that sucker was planned from, it was like April. I think we had planned to do that one and then it just kept getting postponed. And then, so that question, the one question that I asked was specific for Lee. It was a golf question. So that's the reason why. It was there. So, little update.
You're saying I don't golf?
100%. You don't golf. So, in fact, Heitland just talked about our two staffs getting together to golf. And I'm like, well, Scallon's never going to go for that. He'll never go golfing.
Does Hutzel golf?
Well, he would be more likely to golf if we were involved, meaning the two of us, than if it was just the rest of the staff. So, I don't know how often he golfs.
The rest of his DCG staff? Is
that... Yeah, the rest of the DCG staff does not want to get to know anybody because when they do know somebody, it makes it harder to not like them. They like to be angry with whoever their foes are.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
I understand how that works.
Yeah.
But I still walking with Matt Rampton every day. So that's been good. And occasionally getting up and walking even more. So trying to stay on track here during the summer months. Okay. You ready for the question? I only got one. You have seen The Matrix.
Yes.
And they are on top. What's the girl's name in The Matrix?
I don't know.
Anyway, they are on top of the building. And for the first time, Neo moves like they move, right? And then they shoot the helicopter pilot and she messages back to the captain or whatever. And she says what the helicopter name is. And then he loads the manual on how to fly it in like 12 seconds or whatever. So here's where I want to go with that. If we have that ability for you to upload something like that, what's the first thing you're uploading?
The first thing I'm uploading.
And I'm assuming it's not going to be how to fly a helicopter.
No, I was thinking how to upload every single password I have for every single streaming service and every computers at school.
That's already been uploaded. That's already in there.
Somehow it keeps messing up.
Okay.
I don't know what I'd do. That's a, I think I definitely would want, I'd probably be fly a plane.
Would it really?
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. Okay. So you'd be a certified pilot.
Yeah. I don't want to.
That's the first thing you go for.
That way if I want to go to Iowa City, I can fly there. Takes instead of an hour and a half, it takes Dewey's.
You ready for mine?
Yep.
I'd pick a language.
You already know another language.
I do not.
Language of football.
I cannot speak it fluently. And that's what I would go for. That would be the first thing that I would upload. So, listeners,
what language? What language?
I think I would pick Spanish. I think I would pick Spanish. Then I know what all those the workers at school are talking about right now.
Yeah.
Very similar to when Elaine goes into the nail salon and she has George's dad come in, Frank.
I think that's, it should be more like Chinese, because, you know, knowing Spanish is really cool. But if you know Chinese, I was like, oh, how'd you learn Chinese?
Well, that would be the first I would do, would be Spanish. I think I would become multilingual.
So you're just going to keep uploading languages?
Yeah, I think so. Why not? I mean, you have the ability. I just wanted to know what the first thing is that you would upload. So listeners, that's what I want to know. What would be the first thing that you would upload into your noggin at record speed that you want to know? So, you know, the other thing that I think a close second behind a language would be learning how to play the guitar. That'd be a close second.
I think mine might be, what are the free meals for people that are 50 and over around town?
What kind of deals can I get? The blue hair specials, even though you don't have any hair. Here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that I own a guitar?
You do? Yep. Oh, it's Jake's guitar. I thought Jake had a guitar.
No. I own a guitar. I bought a guitar a long time ago because I was hell bent that I was gonna play guitar. Yeah, it's still in the box. I played a little bit, but not much. So
when you open up an amateur night at some coffee shop, I'll come.
Okay.
Thanks. Maybe it better not be a coffee shop. Maybe it needs to be something else so I can get through it.
Yes, it'd probably have to be a bar. You're right. Accurate. Okay. So again, first thing that you would have uploaded if you had the ability, like on the Matrix, where they just upload and in this case, it was the helicopter manual for her to be able to fly the helicopter. So what's the first thing you pick? Here we go. Confessional. Are you ready? You've heard this one. This is my meltdown last week at the National High School Athletic Coaches Association conference. So long story condensed way, way down. We, as the Iowa Football Coach Association, were sponsors of the Coach of the Year event. Well, we were just sponsors because we paid some money to them and we got several things. Anyway, one of the things that we got were tickets to the Coach of the Year banquet, which was last Wednesday night. And that banquet, you have the eight finalists, semifinalists, I don't know, finalists of the Coach of the Year award. There's eight of them. Only former, but it's for every sport, athletic director, assistant coaches, all of that. They go up on stage, they get their picture taken with whoever the chair is of that sport plus the president. And then the president and the chair separate and they take a picture. So I was the representative for the Iowa Football Coach Association. And I was supposed to go up on stage. I am not good in these situations to begin with. And then it's even worse when I'm by myself. And even worse than that is when I do not know all the details. I like to know what's happening. So details are foggy. And what I mean by foggy, not because I'm struggling with them, but because they are not clear as far as what the plan is. So I get there Wednesday night and the social is from 4:30 to 5:30. So I get there and I won't even go through the whole day as to what I was doing on Wednesday, other than I was golfing.
Hang on just a second. I got a fire alarm going off.
Okay. Here we go. So we keep trying to figure out what's exactly going to happen. So social is from 4:30 to 5:30. I get there about 5:10 or so, which was really good time from where I was at 3:40, which was in Ankeny. I had just finished golfing. Come home, scramble, find something for my fat body to fit into, finally get it. I have post-shower sweat, unbelievably bad. Scramble to get myself out to Prairie Meadows, which is where it was hosted. Walk in, and I know not one person, or at least I didn't see anybody that I knew as we go. So I walk all the way through the social, and I go stand in a corner, just people watching. Got to stand there for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, somewhere in there. End up, they finally bring us in and tell us it's time for us to sit out. So I go through the door and the lady that's taking my ticket, I say, hey, which table am I at? I don't know what table you're at. What sport? Football. So she has to get a guy who has the diagram of the seating chart out. And he looks and you're at tables 30, 31, and 32. So I walk all the way around, find table 32, and I sit at it. And I am the only one at table 32. The guy that presented, who is also a finalist for Football Coach of the Year, comes and he sits at the table. I tell him I can move. I don't need to move. He sits with his family, and then we get a husband, wife, co-head coach, finalist for Track Coach of the Year to come sit with us because they didn't have any room at the track table. So gentleman comes down, grabs me and brings me over to the president of the National High School Athletic Coaches Association and says, this is what's going to happen. Okay, fine. And I am now trying not to sweat through my clothes because now I'm even more worked up that I have to be on stage with the finalists with and getting my picture taken with these finalists. And then I have to go back up on stage when the winner is announced and get my picture taken and everything.
Yep.
So I'm sitting there and I am not a conversation. I am not a part of any conversation that's going on. I am absolutely clammed up, puckered, and nervous. So we get up, the usher comes over and grabs us, football, 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 football. We all go to the back. We're standing behind the tables and he doesn't see the co-chair for football. So he grabs another guy that's on the National High School Athletic Coaches Association board and says, hey, will you fill in for the chair? So that guy's like, yeah, I guess I'll fill in for that. So I look at that guy and I'm like, are you filling in for the chair of football? And he's like, yeah, apparently that guy's not here. And I'm like, okay. So I walk back. But
I'm pretty sure that it wasn't, are you filling in? I think it was more like, are you filling in?
No. I was very polite. I was very polite.
Your face wasn't red?
My facial expressions may have been angry, but my voice was not. I was almost a whisper because they were still presenting other coaches of the year finalists and reading their bio while we were staging, getting ready to go up there. So I go in the back, I run into Brett Butcher, who is the DCG athletic director because their softball coach was one of the finalists for coach of the year. So I chat with him for a little while and they are thoroughly confused over there because they don't know why this guy's standing there and all that. So they go up on stage and I was like, you know what? I'm out. So I walk out of the ballroom, the main ballroom there at Prairie Meadows. And at the time that I get out and I'm getting ready to leave, now I'm down by the bathrooms, guy from the board comes out and he's like, oh, hey, we need you up on stage. And I'm like, no, you don't need me up on stage. You just got a replacement for me. Yeah, I don't need to be up there. I mean, I don't have to be here. And you just got a replacement for him. So I'm taking off. And he's like, well, we really want you on stage when the winner is announced. Listen, I do not need to be here. I'm good. I'm going home. Are you sure? Very. So in all my huff and my haste, I get out to the truck. And the very first thing I do is I call Brian Wilkin and apologize profusely for being a terrible representative of the Iowa Football Coaches Association.
You got to tell Aunt Tracy who Brian Wilkin is.
Brian Wilkin is the executive secretary of the Iowa Football Coaches Association. So basically the guy that keeps everything running is Brian Wilkin. So I called and apologized to him profusely because I was angry. And then I had lots of remorse after that. So that's my confessional. I apologize for the long story, but it was, and that's not even the whole story, because it doesn't involve what happened on Wednesday prior to, and then it doesn't involve all the other stuff. But anyway, that's my confessional. I had a meltdown in the middle of a banquet for National High School Coach of the Year Awards. Okay.
My confessional would be, I feel bad, but I'd really like to have been there to see the whole thing.
Well, the bad thing is you know that if you would have been there or somebody else would have been there, probably wouldn't have shook out that way. Somebody would have been able to put their hand on my forearm and say, relax, here's what's going to happen. But it was not.
Yeah, we could have found ourselves at Jethro's just as easy.
Well, that's for sure. I can guarantee you that. I thought maybe your confessional was going to be us moving the couch and the chair from your parents to your house. And the amount of sweat that was lost on that particular afternoon.
Well, it was such hard work. We had to take a break in between. See, now what really should have happened is if I could have recorded my dad's conversation that I cannot say any of here on giving us advice on how to move the couch and then just responding with certain expletives.
Did you tell him we got it moved without any issue?
I sent him a text. He just sent back, good.
Okay.
I'll see him this weekend and I'll see what he has to say.
Okay. Anything else in the confessional?
Nope.
I disagree with you, but that's okay. That's okay.
What else am I supposed to confess?
The two of us together with ratchet straps are not very good.
I can run a ratchet strap if it's already strung.
Yeah, right.
But putting them together.
Yeah, exactly.
And then having a 5-minute conversation on, think of the guy who made the ratchet strap.
Yeah, well, think of it.
He's got to be rich.
He is very. So we're now going to move on to feedback. First one comes to us from longtime listener, longtime fan, longtime responder, feedbacker. I don't know what you would call it. Dennis Bura. It's great to see everything is right with the world again. And I'm not sure if you noticed what happened with gas prices since you have not had a podcast and what has happened since. So
he thinks that's the issue.
Yeah. He said, and then I said, we're back at it again. And he said, dang, might have to buy a lottery ticket. But Dennis is now happy. I will be honest with you, he is the number one person that I have heard from as far as not doing the podcast and what's going on. Tommy Minor would probably be number two, and then Cole Hopkins number three. But all is good right now.
Well, what about Schmitz?
Oh, I'll get to Schmitz here in just a second.
Okay.
So then Cole Hopkins sends a picture of your microphone that Tim Geyer gave to you, and I send a whoa back to him, GIF. And I get nothing in response. So I don't know what he meant, but now I know it is the microphone that you did get from.
Yeah, it's the one I told you that I was going to give to you because you're always podcasting.
Yeah, which is fine. Great. I appreciate the gift. But now let's hear the difference.
So this is me talking without the mic.
Well, the mic is still on. Now you are directly in it.
This is when I rock the mic.
Yeah. Significant difference. Significant difference. In fact, somebody might have had to turn it down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's
what I need is clear. I need to have a little table.
It's crystal clear.
It's got a spit guard.
I love it. Peter Sand is another one that I heard from feedback wise. He listened to the question for Lee and then said that there is this. Well, and the one that he sent me was breaking sawgrass. So there are three guys, I think there's three guys that have different ranges of handicap when it comes to golfing. And they go the day after a PGA Tour leaves and they go in and golf it and see if they can, how well they do with their handicaps that they have. And it's a real deal. You go out on YouTube, if you YouTube search breaking sawgrass, you get to see that. And the crazy thing is, it's just like watching a PGA broadcast. You get to see the tee shot and the angle and the flight and the path of the ball and all that stuff. It's a pretty cool deal. And then of course, Brandon Schmitz and I, oh, go ahead and ask a question. You're muted. So you have to unmute. Boy, that's always fun to say right there in the middle of a podcast. Hey, you're muted.
I don't know how I got muted.
Probably because you were messing with your microphone.
Oh. And it's still working?
Yes, it is. It is. So Brandon Schmitz was another one that didn't send feedback, but he and I chatted in the weight room. And again, I just want to remind all the listeners that have been, you know, that have been with us for a while. Brandon Schmitz boycotted us because of whatever his reasons were, inconsistencies and whatever else. He's still a very faithful listener. So that's really all I wanted to say about that. Let's talk.
He just has to have his undies in a bunch about something.
Yep, he sure does. So high school sports. Did you have any feedback? Probably not. Baseball, we now know we are the 4 seed and we are playing at Roosevelt. And I think that's next Friday night for the first round. And then I think we play the winner of Milwaukee Northwest and one of the Abe Lincoln or one of the Council Bluffs schools. And then Valley and the other Council Bluffs schools, that winner gets a bye in game two. And then whoever wins that second round game will play them for the third round and a chance to go to state.
I didn't understand why we weren't hosting Roosevelt.
Because we were the 4.
Roosevelt's a 3?
Yeah. Roosevelt with us. Roosevelt split with us, which did not help us. And then we, I think we're 500, so they have a little bit better record than we do. So that made a difference. And then softball, we know that we have a first round bye and we play the winner. I think it's Xavier and somebody else. And I can't remember if it's Pella Christian, can't be Pella Christian. If it's Oskaloosa, maybe Newton,
somebody else.
Yeah. But I know Xavier is in that. And then I can't remember who's on the other side, but our girls are still playing really good. And then of course the boys just beat Sally's Pope last night. Huge game for the boys. Doubleheader against Indianola and then a huge game tonight. I think it's just JV varsity doubleheader for the girls in softball against Indianola also. So big night on the diamonds for our high school baseball. Anything else to add to that?
Nope, that's about it.
Okay, so we're going to move on. Here's our non-sponsor. Now, the reason why we have the non-sponsor, there's a little nostalgia. Most of the time, there's some sort of story behind everything. And we had a wild hair here about a week and a half ago. And we had a wild hair a while ago, but we didn't get anything done with it. It festered a little bit. And then it became something that we needed to address. And we thought we were taking a trip to Canton last Friday. And it was going to be me and you. And then, of course, we got the other Tweedledee, Dewey, to agree to go with us. And in memory of that, and of course, the only person we're missing from the true story would be Mr. Lammers. But we took a trip a long time ago when Iowa State played Florida State in the Eddie Robinson Classic in Kansas City and Arrowhead. And we took a trip down there. And after the game, we were hungry. So we stopped by a place, and I think it was International House of Pancakes. And somebody on this podcast ordered something that was called the muchacha. Our waiter said, oh, the muchacha. We actually call that the mukaka. And we found out why it was referred to as the mukaka, because our driver on the way home on Sunday morning was popping Imodium ADs like they were Pez. Because things were not right.
In fact, we almost Dukes a Hazard off the interstate to get to a gas station so he could pop a squat.
True. It was. So our non-sponsor today is brought to us by the Mukaka. Ever so famous in the Kansas City area. Well, not maybe. Maybe infamous would be the proper way of saying that. And it was one of our more memorable trips together. With that one. Okay, so onto the Papa Burger. We're going to talk. Jason Garrett is the name. As we know, Jason Garrett is the former head football coach of the Dallas Cowboys. We're not talking about the Dallas Cowboys. We're not even really going to talk about Jason Garrett. However, what we are going to talk about is when Jason Garrett was brought to the Cowboys, I believe, whether it's true or not, I believe that Jerry Jones had in mind that Jason Garrett was going to succeed Wade Phillips as the head coach at Dallas Cowboys. He just needed to get him ready, needed to get him into the Cowboys organization and take over. So what we're going to talk is successors. Who follows you or whoever? Do you have anything to add right now before I get to the backstory as to why we're doing this?
Well, just, I agree with you. I think Jason Garrett was sitting there. Now, if Wade Phillips would have had more success, it might have taken a while longer.
True.
But, when you draft Quincy Carter and you think that's your guy, you know, that usually ends up in you getting fired and the successor taking over.
And so let's go down that little bit of a rabbit hole right there. The crazy thing is if it would have, I would be curious to know what would have happened. And obviously we can't go back and replay it, but what would have happened if the Cowboys would have been more successful under Wade Phillips? Jerry Jones has a tough time getting rid of him because of that success. Would Jason Garrett have stuck around to wait that out, or would he have tried to go someplace else to be head coach? I just think that would have been an interesting move.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how much longer Mike McCarthy gets with Sean Payton sitting around.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. So the reason for this is last summer we had a physical education opening that also had a football opening. We had a football opening at the same time. And two of the gentlemen that applied for the PE position talked to me about what we have for football and wanted to know what it was like. And, you know, were they freshmen? Were they JV? Were they sophomore? Were they varsity reserve? What were they varsity? What was it that was open? And I just want to make sure everyone is crystal clear. I had not been asked the question of how long was I going to stay in Norah? Like, how many more years am I going to coach? Both of those gentlemen asked me, how long was I going to coach? So answered them, I don't know. I haven't even thought about it. I have no idea how much longer I'm going to coach. Fast forward now a full year, and I'm at a graduation party talking to a dad of a former player, and he asked me the same question. He's like, geez, how much longer are you going to coach? So the reason for this podcast and this episode and this topic is, how does this work? How does a successor get picked?
Is that a question?
Are you ready for my questions?
Yeah.
Okay, first one. The current old coach. So in this case, in football, my case, do I get to have a say in who my successor is?
As far as the Norwalk process, you're not usually on the interview team, but everybody's going to ask you as to whether or not this person can get the job done.
That's right. So does my input matters, is what you're saying?
Well, that probably depends on the relationship you have with the AB. If you have a contentious relationship with the AB, then you're going to have less say. If you have a working relationship or a good relationship, then you're probably going to have pretty good input.
Okay, so now here's the next question. Do years of service matter?
I think a little bit. I think over time, when it's relevant to, say, like me, because I've been around, and I knew the former current concierge AD, whatever he is now, he might come and talk to me about.
No, hold on. Candidates. Not does it matter, like for the candidate. I'm saying, if I'm the current head coach and I'm leaving, and I've only been there 2 years versus being there 25 years, does that matter to the input piece?
How successful were you?
Does it matter if I was only there for 2 years?
Well, I was only head coach for 3 years and you got the job.
Right, but I'm saying did Mike come and talk to you? But you and so you're 3 years, but it wasn't 3 years. You had been there for however long. So let's say I'm a new guy in the system, been there 2 years, and I did just fine. Do they come and ask me for my input as to who should be the successor of me leaving after 2 years?
Well, you're kind of cherry picking a situation. You have to have somebody in the pipeline for there even to have a discussion about successor. And
okay, you know, makes sense.
If you so like when you became head coach, you had a lot of veteran coaches around you. You know, you had
correct
Art Skoglund, Marshall
Blonigan.
I mean, you had a lot of guys with a lot of experience, and I think only one of those guys had some desire maybe to be a head coach. Everybody else, like I had done it and now I was just your assistant, was only supposed to do it for a year with you and then was supposed to go off to just the AD world. Thank goodness for Dale and superintendent at the time, but well, maybe not. Maybe people would rather it didn't turn out that way. Some of that is who's there and who wants to do it. Now, the vice versa could be if you're ready to be done, but everybody else is green. You know, I think we have a lot of young guys that someday might want to be a head coach, but I don't know.
So right now, remember, this is seeking the current coach's input. Does years of service matter?
Yes.
Does success matter?
Yes.
So could I replace X number of years of experience with like 27 wins in a row, regular season, make the semifinals, make the state championship game, and I'm done in 3 years and maybe more likely to listen to me that way?
And your right-hand person is in the system? Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I think you could go to an AD and be like, look, this person did this with me. They did this with me. My two cents is they can handle the job.
Does reason for leaving matter when it comes to input from the person leaving?
Yes.
So in your case, because you took an administration job in the same system, probably still going to listen to your input because you had been there for a while. And giving it as opposed to a person who has an inappropriate relationship with a student and is being let go. Or somebody who's retiring versus
someone hasn't been successful.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so reason for leaving does matter.
I think
as far as when it comes to, and I'm just saying just straight input, nothing else other than just the input. How about when it comes to successor, how do you decide between internal and external? Meaning, we're going to open it up to everybody and their brother that wants to apply for this job, or we think we've got two guys that can get this done. We're just going to decide between them. How do you decide that?
So if I was the AD,
let's do that.
Well, you don't decide that. You open that up for anybody who wants the position. I mean, you can't.
You can post internally first without having to go external.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Internally, I think you have to put that out there legally first off.
So that's what I'm saying. When do you, like, going in knowing that you're going to post internally? Okay, I mean, we've got these guys over here. We know we're going to get this done. Versus, we're going to open it up internally, but I know we're going to wait and we're going to post it externally also. What makes that? Whose input makes that happen?
Well, AD's final decision on whether he or she wants to take it to the next step. In my opinion,
yes, I don't want anybody else's opinion.
I think we should always go internal and external.
You think both that mix? Even though, let's say I retire, you are now in the running for a successor. You're the guy. You think you should have to go against external people too?
I'd have to check the legalities of it. You can post externally and still not invite anybody to an interview. I just feel like, who else is out there?
Okay.
So if I'm done coaching and I know you're in the pipeline, but Kurt Blatt says, I want to come there. Well, it could be some culture issues for him, but
health-wise, I'm thinking.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All of a sudden, somebody that won 7 state championships says, "I want to come here and do this." You never know that unless you do that, and you still might come back and say, "We're going to interview our guy, and I think we have our guy or our girl." I feel like I've gone through. We've been co-coaches together.
Yep.
Kralik took over after me in soccer, and Brommel took over after me in girls soccer.
The other
side. Been through it 3 different ways, and I think my input was asked as to all 3, whether or not they could do the job.
But I mean, here are the two things that I think are the most important on that is the reason why you're leaving and the number of years that you've been here. I think all of those things were factors in why your input was sought after, in my opinion.
And, well, for the record, both soccer programs were also winning games now.
Yeah, well,
13 the first year, and then after that we started winning.
You could also argue that you started both of them. So
yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, fairly important too. Whose responsibility is it to go after a successor?
I don't know.
Is it my responsibility to be looking for somebody to replace me?
Well, knowing you, I don't think it's your responsibility, but the way I think we think the same thing, that once we're done with something, we hope that the process continues. Okay. Now, somebody could do something different, but we never want to leave the cupboard empty. We never want to leave like things in a shambles. And sometimes, maybe you just get older and you're not as good as what you did when you were younger. But I don't think it's your responsibility to look for the successor. But I think if you're running a successful program, there is a successor usually waiting somewhere in the wings.
Okay. How about when you hire an assistant? New assistant comes in because there's a position open. Do you think about, can this person take over for me when I'm done? Do you not think about that? Is it important? Is it not important? Is everybody that you hire, should they be a candidate for potentially being a head coach someday?
Well, I keep telling Corey and Spencer that they need to hurry up and take over the D coordinator job. So yeah, hire people that will take it over.
So
I'm old and tired.
Is that an AD's job? Is that the current coach's job to be looking and having somebody in mind that might be able to take over for them when they're hiring somebody new?
If you put this out externally and you had an assistant football job open and you're looking at candidates, would that be something that I think about? Oh, you know, Paul's 70 and he's about ready to give up coaching finally. So he can go sit on his lake in Emmitsburg. Yes, I think as an AD, even if they are even, you may give the nod to the person that looks like they can take over as the next.
Okay. I just, these are all, and I have no idea. You know, I don't know what Chris went through when he was getting ready to retire from coaching basketball. And obviously that's different than somebody that took a different head coaching job and is going someplace else, or somebody that just got out of teaching or out of coaching, or, I mean, all of those things are different based on your own situation. But I think I would argue that some of those things are pretty universal depending on, no matter what you do, boy, girl, you know, male sport, female sport, major sport, not major sport in the eyes of the finances, all of those things.
I would tell you a lot of times, this will probably get me shot too, major probably goes through a lot more of the process or thinks about the process, where minor sport, they're hoping that they have somebody to coach.
Sure.
Not, If Kralik wasn't coaching here and if Messer wasn't doing it, it's pretty hard to get soccer coaches right now.
The other thing, you know, obviously that needs to be talked about is, what do they do? Are they a teacher? Are they a business person? Are they somebody that is outside the education world, or are they somebody in the education world? And I think that's also a key factor. Do we have we may have a great candidate for a head coaching position, but we don't have any teaching positions open for them. Well, how do you handle that?
We probably need to find some ministers so they can help lead prayer.
We could probably do something like that. So what else you got for that? What else you got?
On which part?
The successor piece.
Oh,
anything else?
I don't know. I think it's hard to say as a head coach that you're grooming someone to be a successor, because lots of times you don't know when that next opportunity was going to come. You know, when Blackburn decided to leave as assistant principal, I really hadn't even thought of that as an opportunity before. And, you know, if that opportunity doesn't happen, then we're probably not co-head coaches. You know what I mean?
Yep.
There are things that just happen that I think creates the opportunity for people to succeed you. So I think it's difficult to sit there and say, unless you're at the point, you know, let's say you hit 59, 60, and you got your IPERS is all in shape and order. You might be like, okay, I need to look around and see, is someone going to do this or not? You know?
Well, I think that's the whole reason why we picked this topic, because I have not given any thought, and I don't want anybody to think that, oh, here it comes, he's getting ready to be done. I have no intentions. I do not see the finish line, if that makes sense. I don't know when that finish line is going to be here. I don't know what's happening. But it was just interesting that now that I am 48 years old, well, I'm 47, but I'm getting to that point where I am going to be, you know, needing to start thinking about my exit strategy, but right now I'm not. So that was the reason why I thought it would be good for us to have this conversation and get that done. 22 years going on, you know, next year will be 23 and 26th year in Norwalk. And,
I tell you what, you've only got Hugh sixth grade till senior and I'm out.
So you say, we'll see. But that to me is the reason why we're talking about that. And I don't really know any of those answers. I've never watched anybody get put in that seat or that position that eventually they're going to take over, you know. And I think sometimes, even though we have this plan that, you know, like a Jason Garrett, just think if Wade Phillips would have been successful, would have won a Super Bowl. He wouldn't have, what had Jason Garrett done then? So.
Yeah. Well, bringing in the pro element to successor is a whole different deal too.
Sure. I mean, very true. Very true.
You've got what's his face down in Tampa Bay. He was definitely a short-term coach, and now Todd Bowles is the coach, right?
Yeah.
Bruce Arians was the coach, and he was definitely short-term, really good at what he does. Tom Brady, short-term, maybe he's short-term, but Todd Bowles was just sitting there ready for, or Byron Leftwich, you know, both of them.
You also have, you know, in the world of college basketball, you know, and for me, watching Bo Ryan, you know, he put himself in a position to retire mid-year because then he almost guaranteed that Greg Gard was going to get a shot. So he had that piece where, oh, yeah, I have my guy in mind. I'll wait. And then, oh, I'm out. Sorry. See you, everybody. And now he's the only option you have. So he forced the hand of UW to.
But the AD had to know something was up.
Probably.
You have to file paperwork. You got to file paperwork.
I don't know what it's like at the college level. Can you just walk away? I have no idea. Anyway, long story short, anybody got any thoughts on that? And that was, it would have been nice to have Lee. From an athletic director standpoint, you know, what has he gone through at Indianola to hear what they do when it comes to replacing head coaches and, you know, how do they go about doing it? Because I know what we do, and I'll be honest with you, outside of Chad, I have not really seen, well, I guess Dustin, you could argue Dustin and Alan a little bit, but we didn't know you were going to be done at that point in time when it came to the soccer side of things. And little side note, I was not the first choice for football back in 2000. And I don't know how many people knew that. But those two were it when it came to soccer for you. So Chad and baseball made sense. Aaron and basketball makes sense, you know, and then I suppose you could argue that Jake and wrestling made sense, but I don't know that any of them were hired with the purpose and the thought in mind of replacing whoever current head coach at that time was, if that makes sense.
I was turned down for football as well.
Yeah, 1994.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been the end of 94. Would have been the 95 season, but yeah.
So they said I was, you know, too young at that point, and that's why they brought in somebody more experienced.
Yeah. 95, 96, 97, and then you took over in 98, 99, and then us together in 2000. But so that's the reason for the that Papa Burger and that subject matter. So if you got any thoughts on that, send away. Let us know. Always love hearing that feedback. And we're putting the closing touches on that. We're going to move on to history. So we are, if you follow me on Twitter, which some of you don't get to because I don't let you in, but the old turf is gone.
If you follow me on Twitter, oh, you can't.
Yeah, some of you can't. We are replacing our turf. And so all the old turf is gone. And so the history is our stadium, and there'll be more history coming about the turf and the stadium from the football side, was built in 2011. So our first game, I'm looking at it here on the wall, was September 2nd, 2011. We beat Creston 13-0 in a game that we probably should not have won. We did. Don't care. Played lights out. We played lights out. So that's our history. 2011, we are now replacing the turf. So that turf made it, what, 12 seasons or 11 seasons, right?
Yep.
Our positive, are you ready for the positive? Mia Brown, born last week to Jake and Mariah. Baby number one for the Browns. They also have Paisley, their dog. So they had a little bit of practice taking care of a needy one, but now they officially have a child in the house, and Mia is doing great.
I have baby Palooza coming to an end. 13 different babies. Who's left? Krupke's left. Who else?
Crazy. Yes, that's it. Unless you count some of the new pregnancies in there.
New pregnancies.
We're not talking about that on the air. That would be two hens at clucking, and we don't need to be doing that.
Okay.
So Mia Brown is our positive. So if we're recapping, one, Mia Brown, welcome to the world. New turf, and the stadium was built in 2011. And again, we'll have some more coming back to that. If you have anything as far as thoughts on successors and things like that, and things that we missed or we didn't talk about that we should have talked about, let us know. What's the first thing you're picking to have uploaded to your melon? If we could do what they do in the Matrix and load things up. And then, the Mukaka, we appreciate the Mukaka being our non-sponsor. And if you've got anything else that you want to share with us, that's good. And then remember the new social media, interact with Cole. Cole does a really good job of making sure that he posts things. So that's where we're at. And, this is episode 82 in the middle of the afternoon on June 29th. So we got two episodes done, one last week, one this week. We are rolling back on it. Back on. What else you got? You got anything else?
Nope. The Mukaka does clean you out, though.
Yeah, it sure does. Sure does. Good thing you only ate half.
Yeah.
And Dewey ate the other half.
What did Lammers eat was the question.
That poor person who cleaned our room. Woo-wee. Okay, we're good with that. Anyway, this was episode 82. Appreciate everybody being on, listening. Appreciate you coming on to host. And I am Paul Patterson signing off. This is Talking the Walk. Jason Garrett.
Tom Scallon with Barry White's voice.
Closing time. Thank you for listening to the Talking the Walk podcast show. Yeah.